On Personally Speaking this week, our guest is Father Brian Shanley, the new president of St. John's University. Please stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Father Brian Shanley, president of St. John's University, joins me now. Father Shanley began his tenure as St. John's University's 18th president on February 1st, 2021. Previously, Father Shanley was the 12th and longest serving president in the history of Providence College, serving three consecutive terms from 2005 to 2020. Father Shanley completed his undergraduate studies at Providence College and holds a doctorate in philosophy from the University of Toronto and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Notre Dame's Center for Philosophy of Religion. Father Brian Shanley is a native of Warwick, Rhode Island, and was ordained a member of the Dominican Order of Preachers in 1987. He's here with us today to talk about his life, his vocation journey, becoming president of St. John's University, and the Catholic faith and the values that sustain him. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking, Father Brian Shanley. Father Brian Shanley is our guest, president of St. John's University. Father Shanley, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Delighted to be here. Thanks for the offer.
Now, I want to tell you that the way I first heard about you and the first person who suggested you'd be a good guest was Chris Cardone, Archbishop of the Solomon Islands and a fellow Dominican. So since two Dominicans are well acquainted with each other, I got to ask you, what's the charism of the Dominicans that first attracted you to specifically say, I want to be a Dominican?
I would say two things. One, first and foremost, since we're the Order of Preachers, when I was an undergraduate with Archbishop Cardone at Providence College, we were in the same class. It was the best preaching I had ever heard in my life. And I was really impressed with the depth and the clarity and even sometimes the humor of the Dominicans. And then I got to know some of them in class. I had as teachers, and I lived next door to a Dominican for a year as an undergrad, and just the more I got to know them, the more I liked them. And I also, when I got to Providence, I wanted to be a lawyer. And then I figured out being a college professor is an even better life. And then the preaching side was the last piece that I got to. So that combination of preaching and teaching was what really drew me to the Dominicans.
Now, for the listeners and watchers who don't know, Father Shanley comes from a family where he's one of five children, and he's the youngest of the five. Now, when you tell a family like that, that you're interested in priesthood, was there a great enthusiasm for it, or did anybody try to talk you out of it?
I would say that my brothers thought I was a little bit crazy because I had a girlfriend at the time that they liked a lot. And when I said, no, I'm going a different path, they were like, well, we think you're crazy. But my parents were very, very supportive. And I think they kind of half thought I might be heading in that direction before I actually told them.
Well, related to that, you know, I often enough get together with brother priests, and if we get into a deep enough conversation, I ask the question that I'd like to put to you. When you look back on, in my case, it's 42 years, but however many years people serve, and you look from this perspective, looking at what you've been able to accomplish as opposed to what you might have done in some other walk of life, do you regret at all the choice to embrace priesthood?
No, not at all. And you know, if I were honest, I'd like to have two lives and see what it would have been like to live a different sort of life than the one I led. But my life has been so rich and so blessed. And I believe, you know, the promise of the hundredfold, I found it in my life. And, you know, just coming to St. John's, for example, which I didn't expect that I would be here. I was going to take a year off after I'd finished 15 years at Providence College. And then I got a phone call in August after I'd been off from Providence College for a month, like, would you be interested in coming to St. John's? And I'm like, okay, send me the info. And I made a trip down here, and 3 months later, I'm the president of St. John's.
So, that's great.
You know, one of the things I've learned in life is if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Right, right. Well, you know, you said I want to have two lives. We had on recently President Tetlow, the new woman in charge of Fordham University, and apparently her dad had both lives. He was 17 years a Jesuit priest before he met and married her mother. And I guess he's had a little bit of both kind of lives, but maybe we'll still come back as another form. No, we don't believe in that. Sorry.
Right.
We don't believe in that. Let me ask you this, too. The seed of faith that allowed Brian Chandler to say, my faith matters enough that I will embrace priesthood, I often think that family of origin matters so much. So your parents, when you look back at the way in which they raised you, what did they do right?
My parents were both pretty devout Catholics, and joyfully so. And so, you know, we trundled off as a family every single Sunday to church. We had my grandmother live with us as well. And, you know, my dad at one point when he was older and we were talking, he said, you know, there's a part of me that would have liked to have been a priest.
Wow.
And he said he was really happy that it turned out for me. And right. His nickname at the place where he worked was the Monsignor. So he was a pretty wise person. And not everybody in my family has kept the faith. But the last two of us, my twin brother and I, both have remained pretty devout Catholics. So I remember my parents telling me a story about they went to see another couple whose older kids were starting to rebel, and they were worried about what the effect it would have on the younger ones. And they said, we've been through this, and the youngest one is a priest. Don't worry. It's going to be a different story for every kid.
Right, right. You know, he's 100 years old now, but we had on a while ago the former senator from New York, Jim Buckley, and he's got six kids. He said it's three and three, three who take the faith seriously, three who've walked away. When you have anybody in the family or close friend who, for whatever reason, has walked away from the faith, do you feel any personal obligation to win them back, or do you kind of leave it in God's hands?
You know, when I was younger, I think I wanted to argue with everybody about why they didn't believe what the church believed. As I've gotten older, I think witness is more important than argument. And I also think that learning how to listen to people, to ask them the questions that you need to ask to try to figure out how did this happen? What are the real issues? And can you help with any of that? So I used to be more aggressive. Now I think I'm a little bit more pastoral.
Yeah, which I think ultimately is more effective in some ways. I want to go to my dad. My dad was a student at what was then St. John's College before it became a university. And in the middle of his studies, Pearl Harbor happens. He becomes a Marine captain in the Pacific. But he told me the story that St. John's was so on board with trying to stand with the crisis facing the country that they advanced a lot of them quickly through their courses so that they could be released to go to the military. It just reminded me of the power of patriotism back then. I wonder now, and I know St. John's is relatively new, but you've been a college president before. What do you find in terms of students' connection to that sense of patriotism or that desire to serve the country?
Well, I'd say both at Providence and here at St. John's, there's a pretty robust ROTC group on campus. So you do meet a lot of kids that at this point in their life have made up their mind that they want to serve their country in the military. And I have to say, both last year and when I was at Providence, my favorite thing at graduation was the commissioning ceremony. Mm. And particularly when you see that in times of conflict. I mean, it's one thing to do ROTC when you don't think you're going to have to maybe fight or do anything. And,
right.
You know, in the times that I've been a university president, there have been times when these kids accepted the possibility that they were going to have to possibly serve in active duty. And so I think it's there. I don't think it's what it used to be, but I still see a fair amount of patriotism on college campuses.
Okay. Father Brian Chandler is our guest. You know, one of the things that I am not good at, I freely admit, in both places I've been a pastor is is I'm not the best at shaking people up for money. And I've said a few times to people, you have expenses, we have expenses, you know what yours are, so try to give as much as you can. That's as far as I'll go. But I'm not really good at shaking people down or challenging them to give more. I should probably be better, I know that. But I don't think as a college president you have much of a choice. You've got to be a fundraiser. Is that natural to you?
You know, I get this question a lot from people, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say I'm shaking anybody down, by the way. So what I tell people is that I deal with incredibly generous people who have probably already given to St. John's or that I know they have the capacity. And so it's about establishing relationships with people. Like, what is it that they care about? Where do they want to make an impact? And if you can marry the donor's interest with your institution's need, it's a win-win. And I actually find that part of my life one of the most enjoyable parts of my life because I've met so many great people. Yeah. And I'm not taking little old ladies out and asking them for their last dimes and nickels. If I'm asking you, you've got a lot of money. And yeah. I already know you're philanthropic. So why not St. John's is my mantra.
Yeah, there's a great couple that I've known for a long time, and I like very much Peg and Pete D'Angelo, and they just want to give. You know, they love St. John's, they love their high schools as well, and they want to make a difference for future generations. Speaking of those future generations, Father Brian Shanley is our guest, president of St. John's University. You and I both are people born in the 1950s, and so I'm wondering, because I'm conscious of my own aging process. You have kids around you, literally kids around you who are 17, 18, 19 years old, who care, unlike us, much more for Taylor Swift than they do about James Taylor. How do you relate to folks like that when, you know, our background is a little more historical?
Well, I have to say that, you know, I've kept active in the classroom mm-hmm. as a college president, and I'm teaching a course here at St. John's now, an ethics course. So I feel like I still have my finger a little bit on these generations. And when I was at Providence, I had a bunch of nieces and nephews that mm-hmm. were students there that I had close relationships to. I can't say I care for the same music that they do right. or the same TV stuff. But it's the joy of my life as a priest has been I've been on a college campus as a priest my whole career as a priest. And being with young people is so stimulating and interesting and rewarding that, you know, if you love them and if you also like me, the college years is what changed my life. That's where I found my vocation. And helping young people figure out who they are is still an enormously rewarding experience.
And for the folks who are watching this program on YouTube, as opposed to hearing it on Sirius XM, I saw some old pictures of Father Shanley. He had one heck of a great head of hair and a beautiful beard. He was like the classic of the 60s kid in terms of the look. And I think that's wonderful. You know, Cardinal Supich from Chicago was on. I asked him, is it hard to not be put on a pedestal when you're in this position? And he said, for me and for all priests, he said, the best thing you can have is a family that tells you the truth. And he says, my nieces and nephews wouldn't stand for pomposity. They're constantly calling me. Do you have that kind of close relationship with the nieces and nephews in your family?
Yeah. And since they're not overly pious, I don't get filtered stuff from them. I think my big sister especially, always just thought her role in my life is to make sure I don't get too big for my britches. And she still plays that role.
Wow. That's a great family to have, though, I think. Well, let's go to those kids again. Not so much your family, but all young people. We have here at Our Lady of Lourdes in Massapequa Park, the biggest pre-cana on Long Island. And they come from all over. But I mention that because when I ask them, of the 168 hours in every week, how come you can't find 1 hour? They have a number of excuses. But one of the things they say is, I got to work a bunch of jobs because, you know, I'm paying for school and I'm still paying for school, even if they have graduated. Where do we stand now in terms of kids being able to afford higher education? You've got to deal with it, I would imagine.
Sure. At St. John's, we serve a very diverse population and a very financially needy population. We have close to 40% of our students are Pell eligible for federal funding. And I would say you know, we give out more financial aid than probably most institutions do. So people get stuck on the sticker price of mm-hmm. college education. They see that big number, but most students are not paying that. And I would say every undergrad at St. John's is getting some form of financial aid. So we try to educate prospective students and their families on the affordability of a St. John's education. Mm-hmm. And I think we're doing a pretty good job on that.
Now, maybe this is something you don't get, but we do get certainly at a parish like our own. Those same young adults I talked about will, as one of their misgivings about the church, right away bring up the scandals and stuff. And we are contemporary priests, you and I know how I handle it, but I'm just wondering, how does a guy who loves the church, has given his life to priesthood like you have, how does he handle or explain some of the horrors we've been through over the past 3 years and try to get people to see past those mistakes to still embrace the greatness of the church?
You know, I don't have an easy formula for that. I think, you know, we need to be, as we have been, just honest about the horrible things that have happened and to refocus people. For me, it's all about Jesus. Let's not talk about the institution. Let's rebuild your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And hopefully that kind of rebuilding with Christ can lead some folks back to the church. But you don't want the church to become an obstacle to people's relationship with God. Yeah. But you got to get them back to God first, in my opinion, before you get them back to the church.
Yeah, totally agree with that. How about the experience of dealing with the fact that neither major political party fully represents Catholic value, and yet most of the folks out there, both in parish and in campus life, sidle up to one party or another. How do you, as a guy who has to deal with all people from all backgrounds, all political points of view, how do you walk that fine line of being politically connected, politically aware, so that it benefits St. John's, but at the same time not given to one particular party or the other?
Well, fundraising 101 is don't bring up politics, because you do never know what you're going to get yourself into if you do. So I try to avoid politics. And I tell people I read The New York Times and The Wall Street Journal every day. Yeah. I try to look at issues from both sides. I don't think that either party lines up with Catholic views completely. So you're kind of forced to make a choice about what you think the most important issues are in particular elections and with particular candidates. Mm-hmm. So I have my own political views, but I try to keep them to myself and try to be able to talk to anybody, no matter where they are on the spectrum.
Father Brian Shanley, president of St. John's University, is our guest. Father Shanley, I got to ask you, when I was in college, one of the things in the rule book, this is a long time ago, was no alcohol on campus. I broke the rule. I got caught. And I remember being called down to the president's office. Now, I know in a big university like St. John's, you're not handling disciplinary and stuff all the time, but you do set a tone. Anyway, when I got in that situation, I knew the rule book said reason for expulsion. When I didn't get expelled, I said to the college president, how come you're not throwing me out? And he said to me, because, Jim, I'm not so old that I forget what it was like to be young and stupid. And I've always kept that as a guideline for myself, not to forget how to be young and stupid. But I mentioned that you have kids from all walks of life, but also kids who socially are adept at dealing with life more than others. What do you do to set a tone for what we'll accept or not accept on campus? You've got to have experiences, I would think, on any college campus of the use of drugs, the use of alcohol, sex and how far it goes. Is there sexual harassment going on? What in the world do you do to set a tone in a university for bringing people to live a good life, but at the same time not being so harsh that we just throw them out at the first infraction?
Yeah, I think most schools, and I would say definitely Catholic schools, that I've been on Catholic college campuses my whole life. And it's sort of, to your point earlier, particularly when they're freshmen, they make a lot of dumb mistakes because they have autonomy for the first time. No one's really watching over them saying, don't do this and don't do that. So you kind of hope that through this process of trial and error and making mistakes, you can coach them up, if you will, to be better at choosing some of the choices that they make. And you only would throw them out as a really like a last resort with either a very serious offense or multiple violations. But I think the Catholic schools probably err on the side of being forgiving. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, if you're going to err on one side, that's the side to err on.
You know, one of the great myths out there is that folks tell me all the time, well, you know, I want to send them to a Catholic college. But, you know, I've heard a lot of times they go to Catholic college and they lose their faith. Now, two of my nephews, Anthony and Matthew, have both gone to Catholic universities, and they are still practicing their faith. So I know that to be a myth. But what goes on at St. John's specifically to build, if people want it, the spiritual life?
We have a really good campus ministry program here, mm-hmm. and the Vincentians do a really good holistic job of trying to help students in their faith. As you know, students who come to a Catholic school and check the Catholic box have a wide spectrum of what it means to be Catholic, from kids that still go to church, mm-hmm. from kids who maybe just got baptized, and kids that maybe go once a month. So the easiest part is to minister to the kids that do go to church and have good liturgies and good support groups. The harder job is to evangelize students who have stopped going to church and figure out ways of making it possible for them to see a path back to the church. And one of the things we do at St. John's, and again, this is every Catholic campus, is we do a lot of community service. Okay. And often it's the experience of the poor, and that's the Vincentian tradition of direct service to the poor. That can evangelize a student finding Christ in other people more so than a Vincentian or a Dominican getting up at a pulpit and maybe giving a great homily. So you try to cast the net as wide as you can and hope that you can press the right buttons on students to bring them back to the church.
Father Shanley's our guest. Martin Buber, years ago, wrote in one of his books, The Great Philosopher, that he got so busy, he had so many students, he was a popular lecturer, and he remembers a day where a student came up to him and said, look, I got problems, I got to talk to you. I'm sorry, I have no time, my schedule is so full, and shortly thereafter having the student take his life. I mention that because Father Brian Shanley is running a university with thousands of students. How do you keep connection to the regular guy or gal going to university? I mean, administration has to take so much of your time, but you don't want to stop being the priestly presence that you first came into this to be.
Yeah, I would say that for me, my priestly ministry is my job. Mm-hmm. And most of my time, I'm with people. I am not pushing paper most of the time. I'm meeting with donors. I'm talking to my senior team. I'm talking to faculty. I'm talking with students. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there are opportunities literally every day that you have to touch people's lives in a priestly way and not just like as a college president. If I didn't think this was a ministry rather than a job, I wouldn't put up with the parts of the job that are not so fun.
Father Brian Shanley is our guest. We're talking to the president of St. John's University. I got to ask you, with all the stuff we're talking about that you have to do, it sounds like an enormously busy life. I was happy to hear from someone that you do enjoy an occasional round of golf, but I'm wondering about that. Like, how does Brian Shanley, the man and priest, turn off to all the stuff demanded of him to just live and relax?
You know, for me, I'm a passionate golfer, and I tell people it's part of my job because I'm schmoozing when I'm on the golf course, but I'm also, I enjoy the game. I enjoy being with guys that I like and playing. But I think, you know, for me, what I have found in my experience is that if I don't take time in my day to recharge my spiritual batteries, that I get burnt out. And so over the years, I've come to really value early mornings. I get up really early and I wake up and I give the first part of my day to God. And because I try to come back during the day, but sometimes my days get really, really long. So I've discovered that the need for discipline. I won't tell you what time I used to get up, but now I get up at a 5 or 5:30 every day. And before I come to my job, I've done what I need to do. I've exercised my body and I've exercised prayer, and I'm ready for the day.
I promise this will be my last question. Father Shanley, the president of St. John's University, is our guest. You're head of this major university at a time when the world and certainly America seem to be very divided. Folks make it out to be like this is the worst of times. I just wonder, as a guy who has to lead a university, are you given naturally to being a hopeful, positive person, or does discouragement come from you, come for you like it comes for so many?
I would say I'm naturally optimistic, but because of my spiritual life, I think, you know, it's all in God's hands, and God is always faithful. And I think, you know, to your point, we live in an extraordinarily divided time, particularly in our country, where there is almost, I would say, tribal loyalties that are appearing. And I think what universities are places where, among other things, you learn how to change your mind.
Yeah.
And that's at the very heart of a university is the kind of humility. And this is part of the Vincentian tradition and the Dominican tradition. Like, you may be wrong. And, you know, if you're getting educated at a university, hopefully many, many times a day, you're going to say, I didn't know that.
Right.
Or I never realized that before. So I see universities and Catholic universities as hopeful places where you do see people's minds changing and evolving. Mm-hmm. And you hope that they are going to go out and take part in the conversation in a way that's going to elevate it and maybe heal it.
Yeah. I want to thank Father Brian Shanley for being with us, president of St. John's University. You probably know this about yourself, but you come across as wonderfully normal, down-to-earth, regular, approachable, and what a gift that is on a major university like St. John's. Now, before we do go off, Father Shanley, could you tell folks listening to or watching a show like this who say that guy made some sense of the value of a place like St. John's University, I'm going to check it out. Where do they find out more about specifically St. John's University?
Websites, stjohns.edu.
Okay. That's easy enough. Yep. It's all there. It's all there.
Yep. That's the way most people are coming to universities these days is they go to the website first, and then if they like what they see, hopefully they make a campus visit. And then, so if you start on our website, hopefully we'll make a campus visit at some point. We're a great university. Love to have more students here.
Father Brian Shanley, thank you for being on Personally Speaking, and all the best to you. Good luck to the great and important job you have to do.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
As we end today's program, I want to thank you all for being with us. If you need to reach me, you can write me at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to this show or past episodes by going on YouTube and searching under Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lusati, where you'll be able to watch shows as well. And please don't forget to click like and subscribe. Personally Speaking is also on Facebook at Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lusati. We're also now on Instagram at Personally Speaking Podcast. I'm privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.